Hey there, Vet Blast podcast listeners. We come to you today with some exciting news. Nominations for DVM360's 4th Annual Veterinary Heroes Awards have been extended until May 31st. This means that you have almost 6 more weeks to nominate your veterinary superhero. Remember, we are honoring one person from 11 different categories. Keep in mind that these are peer-to-peer nominations, so you are encouraged to nominate any veterinary professional, no matter what you specialize in. So don't forget to nominate your veterinary superhero by May 31st. Check out DVM360 to learn more, and the link to nominate will be in today's show notes. Enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. And we're going to talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth with none other than Toothy Thompson. Dr. Amy Thompson's in the house. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. How are you?
I love that somebody, you're up wanting me on the puns already, which is amazing. So I think the dentistry has so many of the puns and it's the best, right?
We have some pretty punny puns. Yeah.
Well, to the listeners, we're going to be chatting about, you know, we haven't talked about this, Amy, before on the show, but we're going to be talking about how important it is to partner with dental specialists, because it's definitely a lot of communication has to happen. And what does that look like from a pet owner standpoint? So we're going to be chatting with our friend here. So to the listeners, a little bit of information about Dr. Thompson. She's often known as Toothy. Oh my gosh, I love it. And she's passionate about tooth. However, it's not always this way. She started her career in small animal practice with very minimal dentistry knowledge. She was fortunate to have a great mentor. We talk about so important how mentorship matters at her first job, and she learned a lot and her desire to learn and grow more there. When she attended her first veterinary dental forum in 2013, she knew dentistry was her passion. That was it, right?
That was it. It was like Christmas.
Wow, it's amazing. And throughout her years in general practice, she took every opportunity to expand her knowledge. And along the way, she became affectionate and better known as Toothy Thompson.
Gosh. That's where it started.
With time and support from her family, friends, and colleagues, and a big shove from her mentor, she applied for dentistry and oral surgery residency and was overjoyed when she matched at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And during her residency, her passion grew not only for dentistry, but also for teaching. And because life is always full of surprises, Dr. Thompson found herself at a crossroad in 2020, fun year, in the early stages of the pandemic. So she started her own mobile dentistry practice. And in addition to working alongside small animal general practice veterinary team, she also became very active online, sharing her knowledge. And it's always been a passion of hers, and she shares as much as she can to hundreds of hours and thousands of dollars to obtain the knowledge she did while in general practice, and knowledge she wants to see all veterinary teams have. And I love that. So tell me a little bit about the mobile dentistry practice, by the way.
Yeah. So 2020 was quite a time for all of us as a whole, and then me personally, medically, personally and professionally, a lot of things kind of didn't go as planned. And I found myself really wanting to be practicing, trying to figure out the way to do it. And because I had been a small animal practitioner for about 4 years, in Ontario, I just kind of put it out there. Are there veterinarians that are looking for, referral care? And you know, with COVID closing things down and things like that, it's a lot more challenging. A lot of people weren't wanting to travel to the big city or go to a new clinic. So I just kind of put feelers out of like, hey, I am a dentist and I don't have an operating room or a clinic. And so I just put some feelers out and it kind of really took off. So it was me and my toolbox that is about as high as me, about 5 feet tall. that was my entire clinic. And then, it just started to grow by word of mouth. And I started going to practices I had worked at before, or friends and colleagues were like, hey, can you come? And it just kind of grew from that, where I was coming actually into the general practice instead of general practitioners sending their patients to me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. I love that. So thank you for doing that. You're really providing access to care in your own way, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and awesome. It's really fun. Like I always enjoyed small animal practice. I really never envisioned. I often joked when I was in vet school, it's like, oh, grades don't matter. I'm not going to do a residency. I'm going to be a family vet. And so I really did enjoy my time in general practice. It's not that I didn't enjoy it. It just, I became Toothy Thompson. I became obsessed with dentistry and really hemmed and hawed for a couple of years about whether I wanted to specialize or stay in general practice and focus more on dentistry and practice a high standard of general dentistry. So I hemmed and hawed a lot. So it was nice to be back in that general practice setting.
I love hearing that story. And to the listeners, you know, we talked a lot about this on the show. The versatility of our degree is incredible. I love that you mentioned like, yeah, I was practicing and then you had this wonderful experience and mentorship and you say, I want to go down this road and go into dentistry. And we were chatting with someone else who's just found a new passion for dermatology. And like, yes, like if you want to go into equine and you're a small animal, you can, you know, it's really incredible. I love that. Okay. I want to chat about sometimes I, as a general practitioner, I'll say to myself, oh, can I handle this or do I need to refer this? And I'm sure you, this is probably your lane that you live in. So for general practitioners tuning in, when should they offer their clients a referral to a veterinary dentist or oral surgeon?
Yeah. For me personally, I don't feel like there's ever a time that it's like wrong to, and I can only like speak for myself, but I feel very comfortable with my colleagues saying like, there's nothing, it's been funny. I've been asked before, like, you know, this owner's like really nervous. Like, can we send you if we think it's only going to be a cleaning? And in my mind, I'm like, it's really never just a cleaning, but there's nothing like beneath me. I treat the whole mouth. And so I never think it's wrong to offer that. But things like, you know, fractured teeth where owners really don't want to extract, they want to preserve the function of that tooth. So like a root canal treatment, that's definitely something that would be referral based. Most jaw fracture, maxillofacial trauma, ideally to refer. Some of it is having a dialogue that, you know, we want to put the pet back together as quickly as possible, return function as soon as possible. However, that often is at a higher cost of care. So I just was having a conversation with an RDVM yesterday about, you know, if even if owners can't afford that, at least we can discuss all the options and then find one that sounds weird, but like fits the family's budget while still providing care. So those are kind of big cases that are referred, but I would say it's never wrong. And I encourage veterinarians, like if you're not comfortable depending on, you know, the amount of training or education, depending on, you know, did your vet school have a dentist? I mean, there's a lot of vet schools that don't, right? Yeah. So I always say, if you're not comfortable, just easier said than done, but don't put yourself in a situation where you're not sure about doing something. I'm always about full transparency with pet owners to just say like, I can do this. However, we do have specialists.
Yeah. It's interesting because I feel like as from a pet owner's perspective, they'll say, well, Dr. Crispin, you're doing dentistries every week. And why are you referring me to a dental specialist? And I feel like we as a profession maybe need to educate a little bit more on like what we can and cannot handle and comfort levels, because sometimes it's perceived like, oh, you're just referring me because you don't want to do a dental cleaning, quote, air quotes I'm using to the listeners, because we all know there's always something behind below those gum lines. But I think it's, do you feel that we need to educate a little bit better about the, or like on social media or resources and the different types of diseases that are out there with dentistry?
Yeah, like, I mean, periodontitis or periodontal disease, sometimes it's called dental disease, but more appropriately periodontal disease. I mean, it's the most common one. So like 80% of our cats and dogs over the age of 3 are going to have this disease. So, I mean, that's a huge part of what I'm treating, what general practitioners are treating. And so I think there's a lot more awareness about that, but, you know, things like malocclusions and what that can mean for comfort and function and things like that. I mean, I think I've seen a huge change in my career, and it's only been about 12 years. So I think dentistry and that oral surgery component is lagging behind other specialties. Yeah.
And what about when it comes to emergencies? Because we'd certainly see our share of dental emergencies. And many of you that are listening, maybe you don't have a dentist in your area or whatnot. So for veterinarians dealing with emergencies, what should be referred or stabilized and then referred to a dentist? And are there any cases that they should handle themselves?
Yeah. So as far as maxillofacial trauma, I actually just developed a new lecture. I was lecturing at, I'm in Ontario, Canada. So I was really fortunate to be asked to speak at the Ontario conference this year. And so I shared some of my like favorite lectures and then I added some new ones. And the newest one that I put together was just talking about maxillofacial trauma and how to hopefully be less intimidated by it. Because I know certainly from being a specialist and talking to referring vets and also during my residency supporting interns that are like, what's going on? Something's broken. Like, what do I do? I really focus on the occlusion and the occlusion or how those teeth line up can actually tell us a lot about where that fracture might be. And so symphyseal separations, so the separation of the two mandibles, I mean, that's something that's really far forward that you can get really good images of without 3D imaging, which is often needed. You know, you need a referral to get 3D imaging, but dental x-rays are really good for seeing that. And sort of like a figure of eight between the canines or cerclage wire, both in cats and dogs. I think that that's something that's definitely, you know, with some practice and review can be done. The more caudal fractures in the mandible, those can be a lot more complex just from all the forces from the different muscles of mastication. They need a much more rigid fix. But when we're dealing with trauma, especially in the mandible, the least expensive and easiest way to stabilize is like a tape muzzle. Loose fitting tape muzzles. You can make it out of the tape that you use to tape in catheters. And because there's a bit of clothness to it, if you make a couple up, you can actually throw them in the washer. And so at least supporting that, whether that has to be the long-term fix due to finances or whether that's a way to stabilize so that we don't have this bone on bone rubbing until they can get referred to someone who can do a definitive fix is a very important toolbox to have or a tool to have in your toolkit.
Yeah, I love that. Really great tools and great hacks, I would always call them, you know, It's just great. And I want to talk about the relationship because relationship building is so important in veterinary medicine between the general practitioner and the specialist. So how can a referring veterinarian build and maintain good relationships with the specialist nearest them?
I mean, for me, it's just like reaching out when you have a case. We get calls like maybe even one a day or an email one a day from a referring. And I just find that really helpful to kind of chat about things because there are definitely cases where you may not be totally comfortable. However, with some support from your local-ish, sometimes there's no one local, but just kind of going over what treatment options can be quite helpful. So, and yes, of course, like if we're talking through it and the owner wants to go for a referral, great. But if they don't want to or can't, I mean, I'm always happy to support the RDVM or the referring vet or non-referring vet, general practitioner that's got this case in front of them. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of just like getting to know the vets that are around me. So I'm a huge fan, I would say, and I think I can speak for most dentists. We're a pretty fun, welcoming group. I've never been part of another college, but I would say that we're a very fun group and very inclusive. So I think if you're nervous, I would say reach out, shoot an email, give them a call. Or if you have a case and you're just not quite sure how you should stabilize it before you refer. I mean, personally, I always like when vets call and ask, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? And then I can kind of, we're part of the team together. And then there's that consistency because there was nothing that I hated more as a referring vet myself is like sending a case. And then I did one thing, but the specialist went another thing. And then this owner is feeling like they're stuck in the middle. Like It really is important to me that we're all working together as a team. So
yeah, I love that. And we would do things at our hospital where we would invite you into our hospital for lunch and learn. I think it's important to build a relationship from the entire team, from the CSRs to the technicians, to put a name with a face. Like, this is Dr. Thompson, and she's our, you know, referring veterinarian for, or specialist for dentistry. And then another thing that we've done, and to the listeners, I really recommend you do this because the Gen Zs love this, is an Instagram or social media takeover. Like, hey guys, I'm, you know, Dr. Thompson, I'm in the area here. You're a veterinarian, maybe you see referring your patients, your fur babies to me. And then here are five things that I want you to know about me as a veterinary dentist. You know, it's like just kind of humanizing yourself a little bit, building that relationship, and making them just kind of get to know you a little bit better without being so foreign. Because I know when I would refer my patients on over, they're like, oh my God, where are we going? Where, I'm so nervous. Where are you taking me? And I'm like, it's okay. Like, remember when we had that one-on-one with Dr. Thompson and you met her, you know, oh, that's her. Yeah, that's who you're going to see. It makes it a little bit easier, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I have gotten a few messages. Like, so I started on Instagram when I first started educating, because I mean, I was brand new. I wasn't, you know, having opportunities to lecture and meet that way. So I was like, well, Instagram's free and I can just show up. And so that's where like the Toothy Thompson Instagram, that name kind of took over. And so I've definitely had vets reach out to me there, and they've also kind of sent owners to be like, at least you can see her. She's a human. She's kind of goofy, but she's really excited about teeth. So I think that that's been helpful, especially during, you know, not to keep talking about pandemic times, where like I couldn't meet owners face to face and I would be talking to them on the phone. At least they can be like, oh, she's a normal human kind of thing.
Right. So, yeah. I love that. And I want to talk about this. This is a big thing that when I talk to pet owners on social media about, it's not so much the price, Dr. Thompson. It's more of the concern of anesthesia. Is there a piece of advice, a recommendation, a soundbite that you can give the listeners when an owner says, I'm really worried about putting my pet under anesthesia for the dental?
Yeah, I think that's huge. And I totally agree with you. I mean, we all have our financial budget and limit. So, you know, we unfortunately, being in Canada, we have OHIP for our own healthcare. We don't for our pets. So that's often a discussion that I have. But yeah, I'm finding that it's a lot more of a hesitation about the anesthesia. And so some of my sound bites are like, I get it. I anesthetize patients every single day. And every time my little raisin nose Scout was getting her annual co-hat, I would be vibrating. Like, it's very different when you're a pet owner, because anesthesia is not benign. So it is very, very safe. It's, you know, the drugs and the advancements, and especially me being spoiled and getting to work with a board certified anesthesiologist, the risks are so low, but we can never completely mitigate them. So for me, it's really important for us to discuss the pros and cons, and, you know, and then I'll bring it back to their pet. And, you know, we've just talked about the oral exam, the concerns I have. So, you know, benefits way up here, risk is down here. It's still on the map. And so these are the things we're going to do to mediate that risk. And I used to say, obviously, but it's not that obvious, is I would tell owners, my goal is to get in there and treat any and everything that I find in that mouth, so that when I send, you know, Levi home, he has this perfect healthy mouth. But as much as I sound a little bit crazy about teeth, I know he's not a walking mouth. He is a full pet. So I'm never going to push the limits to get the mouth work done. So if at any point we're not happy with how he's doing under anesthesia, we're going to cut our work short, because we can always reevaluate the plan. We can change the drugs that we use. But we can't go back if we push too far ahead. So that's often some of the dialogue I'm having with pet parents.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that, because it's always good to hear how you say things, and maybe to the listeners, you might be able to steal a couple sound bites from that. That was great. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's a tough conversation.
It is a tough one.
Because we really can't, and that's the hard thing, is we, you know, there's a lot, not to go down this rabbit hole, but there's lots of information coming at pet owners who are afraid or fearful of anesthesia, and then they see these anesthesia-free options and think that's safer. But we're not treating disease in that case. It's just cosmetic. So I think it's a hard conversation, but I feel it's a very important one so that owners can be fully informed.
Yeah, it really is. They have to know everything. And to your point, I was just laughing because it's true. We really do have that upward battle, I want to say, of like the anesthesia-free dental procedures that are, quote, like amazing. And it makes you probably want to clench your pearls when you hear that, I'm sure. And I know with us, well.
We just had a pet that came in through the ER this week that sustained a pretty significant injury while having an anesthesia-free dental cleaning. So, for me, I will like shout at the rooftops that like, I know that the owners have their pet's best interest in heart. It's just, they don't fully understand. And it's really hard, for general practitioners, like how can you spend 15, 20 minutes to fully educate, the difference between what we're doing and what's happening without anesthesia while you have to talk about maybe a heart murmur or, you know, flea and tick prevention and their vaccines. Like it's so much put on you all that I'm not surprised that when they're seeing these advertisements, that's like, okay, no anesthesia, better and cheaper, better. It gets my blood pressure up for sure.
Yeah. But you know what I love about your career path is you've been there. You've been there as a general practitioner. You know those sound bites. You know those concerns. And sometimes, you know, and not to diss any career trajectory, but yours is unique in the sense you know exactly what we, the referring veterinarians, are probably going through if there's some pushback or some hiccups that might be experiencing. So it's nice that if they come to you, but like, listen, I totally get what you and Dr. Crispin were talking about. I've been there. I've been in the trenches as a general practitioner too. It's nice that you know both sides of that.
Because I honestly and truly, like, I don't envy you. I don't envy a single small animal general practitioner. Like the expectation on all of you is so, so high. And I'm like, I get to just chill in this region and like know a ton about this. And I don't know anything about other things. Like, I'm just diarrhea. Well, it's been a long time. Or like, you know, you meet wonderful clients and things go well and then they want your advice on other things. I'm like, I haven't dealt with that in 10 years. I am not the person you want to ask about this.
Yes.
So yeah, I definitely can appreciate how challenging that can be.
But did you trim the nails while they were under and have it?
You betcha we did. Always, always, always.
Right. And as we wrap up, this is a great question I want to ask you, because this is what I love about continuing education, what we do here at DVM 360. We have a lot of general practitioners around the world that want to advance their dentistry skills a little bit, and they may not necessarily want to be, say, a boarded dentist or oral surgeon. So what would you suggest general practitioners, what should they be look for when they're trying to improve their dentistry skills?
For sure. So I would say the biggest sort of jump in my veterinary dentistry education was going to the Veterinary Dental Forum. It's like Christmas for tooth nerds is what I say. And we're like all there. We're super excited. I remember my first dental forum. I looked like a deer in headlights and there was a resident that was like, come here. Took me under her arm, took me over. I signed up to be part of the Veterinary Dental Society. I got like the journal that comes and step-by-steps. And, you know, we're just like really excited. There's so much dentistry work to be done. I mean, periodontal disease, like we talked about earlier in the episode, it's the number one disease we're going to see in small animals, cats and dogs. Depending on the study, maybe second only to obesity. So there's so much to be done that we're just like, come on in. Like we want more people interested in doing dentistry. And so it's a ton of fun. It's a 3-day conference. So, I mean, you're going to get like 24 hours of lecture credits. There's also a ton of labs. And so I just started going every year. And I think I even did the same quote unquote extraction lab every year, but it was taught by different people. So I think that's the hard thing, is because dentistry or dental extractions is soft tissue and orthopedic surgery together, which at least in my experience in vet school, we didn't get. Like, we got spays and neuters, but we didn't get that sort of orthopedic side. So I find taking the course and then taking it back into practice and then coming back and taking it again, and you pick up different things as your skill level goes up. But I'm also going on, like, I think 12 years in a row going to the forum, but it's just such an action-packed weekend. And I do find the cost for the labs and the whole weekend registration is pretty economical and reasonable. So I'm a huge fan of the forum. I can't yell enough about it. It's in Palm Springs this fall. It moves around continental US. So Palm Springs is a pretty fun location. Yeah. Fall. So yeah, that would be my number one recommendation.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I got to give a plug for our conferences too, because we do have a lot of dentistry in there as well. Yeah. So can't forget about the Fetch conferences, because we do always offer dentistry at some point, and some labs are there as well. So awesome. Yeah. Well, Dr. Amy Thompson, this has been wonderful. Where can we learn more about you?
Yeah. So, I mean, my website is currently under construction, but I'm toothythompson.ca because I'm in Canada. I'm also Toothy Thompson on Instagram. I share a lot of tips and tricks and videos there. I'm on TikTok, but I don't really know what I'm doing there. I'd say Instagram's the way to go there. Yeah.
We might need to do a collab on TikTok. I just realized we're going to have to.
Yeah, that would be super fun.
Definitely.
And then, yeah. And then I do also have some online courses. Like, I love just getting information out. So I can send you some links if you want to have that for the show notes, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Please do. And before we sign off, I always like to ask my guests a fun question. So I understand, I know we're both like nerds in vet med, and I love it. So what's like a fun, do you have like a fun vocabulary word that it's like, oh, I love this word, and go.
Yes. So when I talk to owners and I'm like, oh yeah, we're seeing your pet because they have a tumor and it's a canine acanthomous ameloblastoma, and they look at me like I have five heads. It took me a while to get that down, but now it just like rolls right off the tongue. So that's a fun one. Or, and then we just start calling it a CAA because that's a lot easier to keep track of.
Way easier. That's a good one. I like keratoacanthoma, you know, or like coloboma in ophthalmology.
Yes. Yeah. We have some pretty fun words. Like dentigerous cyst. That's a fun word. Yeah.
So
we've got some fun words. I'm better at dentistry oral surgery vocabulary than just standard English, I think. So
I love it. Dr. Thompson, so good to see you. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we continue to grow here. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.